Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are reading today on Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi as the moon is slowly rising both in the sky as well as in the lake where it is reflected about chapter 29 where further pastimes with the gopis are described. We all know that the moon played an important role in ushering in that best of nights, the Sharad Purnima and the Rasa Purnima later, 1 month later, where the Rasa Leela took place. Now, this part of the Gopachampu describes pastimes after the Rasa Leela is completed. It is very interesting that there were two types of pastimes described in the spiritual world. One in the assembly of Nanda Maharaj in the morning, and the other type in the assembly of the gopis in the evening. During the past, during the morning pastimes, Krishna's cowherding, or during the morning session in the court of Nanda Maharaj, where all the Brijbasis came together, Krishna's more public pastimes were described by Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, the two poets, whereas in the evening, in the exclusive association of devotees in the Madhurya Ras, the gopis, only gopis, gopi-related pastimes were described. This brings a very interesting point to our attention, that Krishna's confidential pastimes with the gopis are really not to be discussed in public. It is private. And it would not let me say, suit Krishna if these very private loving pastimes are just so indiscriminately spread out all over the world to even unqualified audiences. It's a very interesting to note that in the Gopachampu two assemblies are served with two different types of pastimes. It's very interesting. So we are now in the confidential assembly of devotees who have strong faith in Krishna and who may even aspire or become charmed in their heart by the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is how it opens. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna 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 Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Snigdhakanta then began speaking in the night amongst the Sakis. This is what the best of poets said. When the gopis finished the rasa dance and returned home, the people there were not at all worried because Yogamaya had produced copies of all the gopis in the houses. The people in the houses thought they had successfully prevented them from going. In other words, one set of gopis stayed in their houses, being prevented by their relatives to follow the sound of the flute, who invited them to come to the forest of Vrindavan, whereas another set of gopis produced by Yogamaya had left their houses unseen by relatives. It's amazing. We can just imagine how this set of gopis turned around. They're all the relatives, and they talk amongst themselves. We must protect our young gopis, our young daughters, from going out in the night. Who knows what could happen to them? They are so eager to leave the houses, but they are not conscious that there are wild tigers in the jungle and black snakes. I'm not conscious of this. It's our duty to protect them. Why they want to go, we don't know. They are not clear about the relationship. Krishna passed all the following nights in pastimes of the rasa dance, filled with various rasas. And Vrinda Devi assisted these pastimes in various ways. Vrinda and her group of helpers placed tamal trees near Braja and effulgent herbs at a far distance. In this way, she served Krishna for his meetings with the gopis. Wonderful. So there were effulgent herbs who spread a light in the forest of Vrindavan, and many tamal trees. You must know that the tamal trees are essential, because sometimes Radha is not willing to embrace Krishna out of great feelings of shyness. But since she really wishes to embrace the Lord, she will embrace a tamal tree because that reminds her of Krishna, but not Krishna. Amazing conflicting emotions. She, Vrinda Devi, made the forest blossom and called the gopis there. Come, gopis, come, come. She made them sit there all night in a waking state. And Krishna would come and embrace the gopis constantly and held the pastimes to his heart like a necklace. Sometimes, however, the gopis would not come to Krishna, but Krishna would come to their houses like a thief. With the help of Lalita, he put on Vishaka's clothing, or with Vishaka's help, would put on Lalita's clothing. Then, without the notice of any relatives, he would go to Radha's house in the dark. In the darkness of night, he would speak like a Sakhi with high voice to the resisting Radha. Actually, it sounded much beautiful. O Radha, the best cowherd Krishna's acting as your best friend. I swear that you should accept his friendship. Krishna saying in the dress of Lalita or Vishaka. When elders somehow found out about his coming to the house, he decorated the bowers in the companies of the gopis with his pastimes. So he wouldn't visit the houses any longer, but the forest of Vrindavan. Radha was expert in cheating the elders of her house. She would say, O old woman, the devata who has frightened you and me in the night has been successfully driven away from here by a knower of mantras and is now destroying the bowers. He is no longer in the house, but do not go to the bowers. There this dangerous devata is. That is what she hinted by her words. One other Sakhi spoke. A jewel amongst the elders. On my friend's cheek, tinted with kumkuma, there's certainly a design of a makara ornament. I did not make that design for fun. Some opposing gopi has drawn this on Radha's cheek. That is not a lie. In this statement, the suggested meaning is a reversal of the self and the competing gopi. In other words, it means I have drawn the design, not the opposing party. The poet indicates that the Sakhi's words are false. Now here, my dear devotees, we have to understand we are very gross people and we don't understand the subtleties of this language. Let us be satisfied in acknowledging this is a little bit too subtle for us, so we don't fully understand, but we will gratefully accept these words by the Sakhis who say one thing but express something else. In Vrindavan, when we talk of laziness, it's not the laziness of the world. When the Brijbasis say laziness, they mean he's not inclined to worldly activities. The women who were separated from Krishna and Braj because of many obstacles felt like women whose husbands had gone to a distant country. Krishna thought, you see Radha, you speak to her, touch her and embrace her, O mind. You become blissful on relishing her actions, which you repeat within yourself. If you do not believe in this, you will die. But what happiness will you attain on thinking that you will die? In other words, Krishna says to his mind, on my mind, you can seek Radha in the mind. You can speak to her in your mind. You can touch and embrace her in the mind. Tell this to yourself, that it's possible in your mind to meet Krishna. If you don't become to meet Radha, if you don't tell it to your mind again and again and doubt that it's possible to meet Radha, we will all die together. So in your mind, you should meet Radha. At the time, one Sakhi came and spoke to Krishna, who felt separation from Radharani. In separation, Radha experiences ornaments to be burning like fire. And fire, the death which comes by fire, gives her pleasure. By what method can you appease her, O Master? You are her life and she is your life. That is clear. By such words, I do not really depict her situation in full. That is also described about Maharaj Yudhishthira. The Maharaj Yudhishthira did not enjoy the comforts of palace life at all. He felt the beautiful garlands which were offered to him and which were resting on his broad cheek and chest to be burning like fire, because in his longing for Krishna he was not at all interested in ornaments and wealth. He was not appeased or satisfied by these things. He was always longing for Krishna. Wonderful, isn't it? So Radha Rani also experiences the ornaments to be burning like fire, and fire gives her pleasure. Radharani's longing is described. Vansakhi spoke to Krishna. This longing inspires Radha even more, but it does not inspire you, O Krishna. For this reason, her longing does not give her the happiness arising from satisfaction. Radha is not capable of either accepting her body or giving it up. Her body is split open by tears. It shivers, changes the color. There is a choked voice, hair standing on end, perspiration, paralysis, and fainting. This longing, because it obstructs the destruction of life, gives suffering to her, as if she had a lump of food in her throat. See, Radha's happiness in deep separation from Krishna would be to give up her body. But because she still has this longing in her heart to meet Krishna, she just can't give up her life and get happiness. This is how much she wants to be with Krishna. So she is suffering as if she had a lump of food in her throat. O Madhava, you are full of good qualities and have full power through your arms. Can you not take this Radha, full of good qualities and beauty, into your heart and console her? Radha's going to meet Krishna is described as Sakhi speaks to Radha using suggestion. O friend, where are you going with unsteady eyes? You are most enthusiastic to go forward. Why have you fixed that place in your mind? I do not understand where you are going. Seeing a tamal tree, you become stunned and you merge in the group of Sakhis with deceptive gestures. So you can imagine Radharani goes to Krishna after she has felt so much separation. She goes very determinedly in one direction, but as soon as she sees a tamal tree, she becomes stunned, cannot move any longer, and disappears amongst her gopi girlfriends. You know why? She thinks the tree is Krishna. She wants to go to Krishna. Thinks there is Krishna in the form of the tamal tree, and then deceptively moves with back into the group of the Sakhi and merges. I hope he doesn't see me, and I hope he sees me. Yeah. That is That is new love. When the sun sets, you depart to a mountain in the east. Thus it seems that you are going to meet Krishna for some pastimes. Beautiful poetry. The sun sets and Radha says, I'm going. So the sun sets usually in the west, but Radha goes not in the direction of the sun, she goes in the direction of the east. That means the moon is there. The Krishna Chandra is rising over the mountain. This is how poetic language is. Things are not directly expressed, but only indirectly, and it takes someone to relish the poetry, to understand what it is. That's mystical language we know from the Sufis, when they say he has gone and fallen into a well, they really say the soul has fallen into the material universe. That's what they say, the Sufis, when they say he has gone and fallen into a well. It needs someone to understand that language, to know what they are saying. Because words are not meaning the things which ordinary people ascribe to the words. That is the appointment. Now is how we meet, how Radha and Krishna meet. On a moonlit night, many women imbued with love dress in the best white cloth and set forth to meet Krishna. Why do they meet in white? Why do they dress in white cloth? Yeah. Yes, they don't want to be seen in the moonlight. So they all go in white cloth. They don't want to be seen to meet Krishna, and we understand it's their desire is fulfilled by Yoga Maya, because they go in extra forms, they multiply. This is very, very analogical. If you want to meet Krishna, my dear devotees, you will have to leave your body and your mind behind in the world. You have to go in a pure body and a pure self to meet Krishna in the moonlight, dressed in white and pure and very pure. You have to be very pure. Oh, so pure. This is true. Snigdhakanta says this is true. In this appointment, all their actions were made useless by recollecting their lover, for then they became filled with bliss and covered with effulgent smiles. So nothing else, no actions were important. It all disappeared. What appeared was they're talking about Krishna. No? No, they're recollecting, remembering Krishna, which filled them with bliss and covered them with effulgent smiles. This is how they came forward. Light and darkness became one at that time. Only fools describe the gopis wandering about for Krishna in the darkness. Aha, the gopis didn't walk in the darkness. Only fools will say like this. Their smiles were so effulgent that they looked like moons walking. They trembled in their hearts at the beginning, and their feet became paralyzed on setting out. When Krishna appeared in their mind, their bodies stopped. Oh, even when he appeared only in their minds, then already the body stopped. The cause of the meeting was divine will alone, for that will alone pulled them forcibly towards Krishna. Divine will. Sometimes a Sakhi would bring another Sakhi to meet Krishna during the daytime by trickery. "Oh friend," she said, "the peacocks are fearlessly dancing everywhere. It seems that a dark cloud has appeared among the peacocks and is sporting." So they say, it seems the peacocks are fearlessly dancing everywhere. Why? Because a dark cloud has appeared amongst the peacocks. Who is the dark cloud? We know. It is suggested that Krishna was there alone among the peacocks. Imagine the scene that you look into the forest, all the peacocks are there. And the cloud, which is usually up in the sky, has descended and is amongst the peacocks. The woman decorating herself for a meeting is described next. She picked flowers and made a special bed not available in the three worlds. Ah! Such a bed is not available even in Vaikuntha. This gopi, preparing herself all alone, was not aware that her friends had come. So she picked flowers and made a special bed. One Sakhi spoke to Krishna about her Radha's longing. She said, "O Krishna, holder of the chakra, having prepared a bed, my friend thinks of your arrival. Not seeing you, she cannot tolerate the passing of even a moment of time. Her hands begin to shake terribly, and her ornaments and dress become disheveled." So Radha has prepared a bed for pastimes and shivers in anticipation. Sometimes Radha was cheated. A gopi spoke to Krishna, "O Supreme Lord, your scriptures teach not only enjoyment and liberation, but also devotion to friends like us." So this is like this. The gopis are dissatisfied with Krishna because he has not come. So they tell to him, "Your scriptures, the Vedas, teach not only enjoyment and liberation, but they teach also that you must care for your devotees. Yeya tamam papadyate. Why are you not doing this?" The defeated Radha is described in these words. "You can destroy a woman, Krishna, by showing yourself marked with the fingernails of another woman, but you show great skill in destroying a woman even without this." So you can destroy a woman if you show that you have been with another one, but you don't even need to use this as a means to destroy. A friend scolded Radha and acted as a messenger. "Oh proud woman, hear what my friends and I are saying. Just worship Krishna according to your natural tendency." See, sometimes Radha becomes stubborn and doesn't want to meet Krishna. And then the gopis say to her, "Oh Radha, why are you so proud? Give up your eyes burning with arrows of pride." Krishna will release his eye weapon, a cloud spreading showers everywhere. Then Krishna arrived in great haste, his body red with nail and teeth marks. Krishna spoke and Radha replied. O dearest, says Krishna. Radha answers, O dearest Krishna. Then Krishna says, why is your face looking so shriveled? And Radha now tells what is in her mind. Don't you know the cause? Curse on you. Krishna asks, what has happened? Radha answers, why do you have wounds from nails and teeth? And Krishna answers, while you were sleeping, O Radha, the demoness of sleep came to me and did this to me. Krishna always says such things, you know, when he's caught stealing butter from the pot of butter, the gopi have just found found him. He gives the most ridiculous of answers. See, he says he was not really stealing butter. He came to this yogurt pot because he looked for his calf, and he needed to be sure that his calf is not there. You know, and that's why he investigated the yogurt pot. So once the gopis wanted to catch Krishna, they put bells in a tree in the butter pot in the tree. So they waited that Krishna would find the butter pot in the tree, and he would then climb the tree. And the moment he climbed the tree, the many bells which were in the tree would ring and would tell all of Vrindavan that the thief had come into the tree. So Krishna it was almost like a car alarm, you know, when you touch it, the car to steal something, it goes off. So the gopis put belts in the tree, all over the tree, so when Krishna would go and get the yogurt, the alarm would go off. So Krishna came actually there, knowing well what was going on, and he told the bells, don't ring because I want to eat this butter. And the bells became silent. But there was a detail in that pastime. Yeah, at the beginning the bells were not cooperative. They said, but it is our duty to ring when Bhagavan is eating. We are the sacrificial bells. We have to ring whenever you eat. Krishna said something to the bells to the effect that no, in this particular effect, in this particular situation, you cannot ring because you would spoil my mission, because the gopis would hear you and then would come and catch me. But still, one gopi found Krishna. And then Krishna was just in the tree and eating the butter. And the gopis said, what are you doing there? Krishna said, I'm looking for my calf. But calves never go on trees, Gopal. And then Krishna said, my calves are not ordinary calves. And then he said, look, I will show you. And he put his hand again in the butter and took out of the butter a little clay calf. My calf is gone. So the beautiful gopi seeing how Krishna was making these far out arguments were satisfied and said, Krishna, we will not give you any trouble. Yes. So there are many, many, many more such talks, but I will end here and say that Krishna's pastimes are very wonderful, and they can only be understood if we understand the essence of these pastimes, which is really that is an exchange of love. Even when Krishna kills the demons, or is with the demons, engaged in fighting with them, he does so to increase the love of his devotees. For instance, the Kaliya Damana Leela is such a Leela. Krishna was the beloved prince of Vrindavan, and all the devotees loved him more than their own lives. So once Krishna jumped into the Yamuna River, was attacked and held fast in his coils by the Kaliya demon. An old man had seen this, and he had run to the village of Vrindavan and informed all the villagers. Just imagine, now the villagers move hastily towards the Yamuna to see Krishna. Imagine the person who you love most in your life is in great danger to lose his life. What will that do to you? Your love for that person will become heightened to the most intense degree, isn't it? So in much the same way, when Krishna was in the Kaliya coils, the devotees of Vrindavan who saw him like this became so much intensified in their feelings of love that it was as if a little pond had splashed over its limits and now had become the ocean. This is how the love increased. Then, imagine further, after some time, Krishna freed himself from the coils of Kaliya and started to dance on the heads of the Kaliya demon. Just imagine this, how much the love of the residents of Vrindavan came forward. First, it was already to the highest degree when they saw Krishna in great danger to be killed by the snake. Now he had overcome the danger and danced on the heads of the snake. They just loved him for this. Then, even further, Krishna finally had defeated the snake, and now he was approaching the shore of Vrindavan. He had wonderful cloth on. You must know, even more beautiful than a naked body is a body which is covered by wet clothes. Oh, so beautiful. And Krishna, whose transcendental body was glistening from the black water of the Yamuna, was covered a little bit with his yellow dhoti and a pitambara, a yellow shawl. And this is how he came to the bank of the river Yamuna. And in this way became very, very, very beautiful. This is how the Lord, who had almost, who had brought his devotees to pure ecstasy by first appearing to be killed, then breaking out of the killing situation, and now coming in the most beautiful form back to his devotees. He drove them to the highest states of loving ecstasy. Krishna is more beautiful than millions of cupids, and to see him like this is not possible so easily. You have to have a pure transcendental body to survive it. So I think this is all what we will talk today about beautiful Krishna. I wish you a very good night, and may you have wonderful dreams of Krishna. Hare Krishna.